You can change your world. Let's start off by seeing how the early church turned the world upside down. In Acts 17, verse 6, we read, "Those who have turned the world upside down have come here also." Now, they're complaining. They're not happy about this. It's a complaint against the church. But what a wonderful complaint that the church is turning the world upside down. Well, actually, right side up, the church already upside down. The early church in the first century confronted paganism. And do we understand just how bad it was, just what a sharp contrast it was? The world into which Christianity was born was a world of polytheism. And here's Christianity standing for monotheism, one God. They stood for polygamy throughout the whole pagan world, many wives. Christianity stands for one man, one woman for life. Immorality versus purity. The ancient world was incredibly immoral. Roman orgies, that sort of thing. But Christianity stood for purity. Idolatry was the order of the day. Everyone engaged in worshipping some kind of idols. In fact, they had a pantheon of gods where they had all kinds of idols in this pantheon. And they invited the Christians, "You can put a statue of Jesus in this niche." And of course, the Christians said, "You can't put Jesus in a niche, and he cannot be depicted by any statue." Well, the interesting thing is today, if you go to the Pantheon, it's empty. All those idols have been taken out, and the Catholics have put a statue of Jesus in. I'm not interviewing statues of Jesus, but the symbolism of defeating those idols is still there. Jesus said, "God is spirit, and we must worship him in spirit and in truth." Idolatry is the exact opposite of worshiping God in spirit and truth. The norm was Caesar worship. "Caesar is Lord" was one of their statements. Statism. They worshiped the states, effectively. But Christianity has the simple creed, "Jesus is Lord." In fact, even better than that, "Jesus Christ is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords." Babel and the pyramids and Nineveh show you the centralization goal of the ancient world. Pagans like centralization. One pharaoh, one emperor, one person at the top, and everything flows from there. Slavery was accepted by everyone, every single tribe, every single people, every religion practiced slavery. Only Christianity proclaimed liberty to the captives. Jesus began his ministry with, "I've come to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, to set the captives free." Animal sacrifice were normal. The Romans, the Greeks, they all did animal sacrifices. But Christianity abolished animal sacrifices because Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. No more need for animal sacrifices. He is the Lamb of God and he is the Lion. Human sacrifice was so normal, even Agamemnon of the Greeks, King Agamemnon, in the siege of Troy, Iliad and Odyssey, he sacrificed his own child to get favorable winds for his ships to sail against Troy. Even Julius Caesar did human sacrifices. But Christ has died once for all, and therefore no more human sacrifices. Child abuse was completely normal, but Christianity stands for protection of children. Abandonment of unwanted babies was the norm. In fact, the term "throwing them to the wolves" comes from the Roman practice, completely legal, where you could put unwanted babies of any age outside the wall, so to speak, throwing them to the wolves. In fact, Rome was founded by Romulus and Remus, who were abandoned by their parents, twins, who were brought up by Mother Wolf. Now, that's Rome's history, and they still allowed abandonment of children and throwing them to the wolves, even though they had been founded, according to their own history, by kids brought up by a wolf, because the wolf had more maternal instincts than their own mother. Superstitions were the norm, all kinds of superstitions, versus biblical wisdom. In fact, you can see that if you see the old rise and fall of the Roman Empire form, how they would sacrifice a dove and look inside the entrails, and this would tell them the future, and all kinds of nonsense. But the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Fatalism was the norm. Whatever will be, you know. Que sera, sera, that sort of thing. Inshallah. it's the will of Allah. But faith is not the same thing as fatalism. Occultism was so normal. In fact, in Ephesus, the Christians gathered together 156 years worth of books, occultic books, and burned them. 156 years' wages worth of books. And as they burned these cursed items, like burning the bridges, the fire of the Holy Spirit came down in revival. Bondage was normal. People were in bondage. Jesus was setting captives free everywhere he went. People in bondage to sin and Satan and to addictions and to demonic spirits. The world before Christ was a world which taught conformity. You must conform to the tribe, the state, custom, traditions. But Jesus said, do not be conformed to the world, be transformed by the renewing of your minds. There were such rigid class divisions. They had the hoi polloi versus the plebeians and the patricians, and there were the upper class and lower class, and you could not mix across. Rigid class divisions. But Christian fellowship, where you'd have people from the highest and noblest to, from the uttermost to the guttermost, as they would say sometimes. Imperialism was the norm. I mean, whether it was the Babylonian Empire, Persian Empire, Egyptian, Roman, Greek, there were all these empires, and of course, imperialism was the norm. But the kingdom of God dramatically cut across all that. It was normal for the Romans to invade other people, the Greeks to invade other people, the Persians to invade other people. I mean, invading other people was like, well, it's normal, isn't it? But instead of invading other people, we had missions to other people. Looting was how Rome was built. Rome was built by looting the world. They looted the treasures of other countries and other kingdoms. But Christianity, instead of looting, was doing the exact opposite. Charity, giving. Greed was the whole emphasis of the world, but generosity is the creed of the kingdom. Selfishness, look after number one. Me, myself, and I. Existentialism, that was the way of the world. But Jesus taught a selflessness, unselfishness, giving of oneself sacrificially. To hate your enemies is even taught in religions like Islam. Christians taught love to your enemies. So Joshua 24 verse 15 puts it so clearly, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We're involved in a spiritual warfare, and we are to rise up like eagles. We are to tread down serpents. Not to have got anything against snakes, but just they represent the kingdom of Satan in this particular image. Okay, so we're involved in a clash of civilizations today. And in this world war of worldviews, we must confront and counter the evil spirit of this age. And remember, not all the darkness can put out the smallest light. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Notice this isn't just that you may sense, that you may feel, but that you may prove. I like the tough word there. This suggests certainty, investigation, rock solid, built on the rock of God's word. Okay. What are we facing today? What's one of the big monstrous ideologies out there? Evolutionism. And atheism, of course. The belief in a spontaneous, causeless, sourceless, purposeless, meaningless existence. We came from nothing. We're going nowhere. Life is meaningless. It's easy to be an atheist. Just deny your eyes and God and common sense and probabilities and rationality and logic. There is no God. But how do you know there's no God? There's no evidence for God. Well, what about intelligent design and specified complexity? And what about the Bible and fulfilled prophecy and the resurrection of Jesus and laws of cause and effect and design and nature and irreducible complexity? But there's no God. How do you know there's no God? Well, there's no evidence for God. And so they just keep ignoring, and it's pretty circular. You can lead an atheist to the truth, but you cannot make him think. Evolution explained. Fossils are dated by the rocks they found. But how do you date the age of the rocks? Rocks are dated by the fossils they contain. How do you date the age of the fossils? fossils dig by the rocks they found. The only thing old about evolution is the reasoning, circular reasoning. You've seen Evolution versus God. That's just one of many outstanding films that expose that even the heads of departments in biology and science in universities like Berkeley, when asked for one scientific evidence of evolution, they're like dumbfounded. So this bionic hand is evidence of intelligent design, but this just coincidence, random mutations. Just consider the eagles, not just how high they fly, how well they see, how, do you know that when they were building the space shuttle, they were copying the designs found in birds, how their bones are built in triangular hollow forms to be maximum strength but minimum weight, and that's how they built all of the space shuttles and all of in these ongoing triangular forms. It's extraordinary how much they've learned from the way how God built the eagles with their bones. And then you get the migrations. I've been in Natal near Canelands, where they've got wetlands where 3 million swallows arrive from Germany every year on cue. And they have to come a long way. Very, very, very long way. And how they find their way here? Well, we don't know, so we call it instinct. We assume they don't know either. Well, God's either made them with a better GPS system than our aircraft, or they have a fellowship with them and he guides them. But I mean, it's extraordinary. There's all kinds of birds who migrate from the northern hemisphere to southern hemisphere every of their winter to our summer and back again. And notice how they make use of these sort of easy land bridges. And then a lot of them go through Israel, actually. It's a tremendous amount of... We have storks and cranes and other birds from Russia who come to Langeban up the west coast, just about an hour's drive from here north. Every year, something like 85,000 Russian immigrants to Langeban every year, coming in with the... and flying back again. How do they do this? In fact, when you get the ones that have to fly across the Pacific, and they've got very few islands that they've got to get a pinpoint. Now, if you get someone like... who was this top-class American woman pilot? She flew across the world and across the Atlantic and so on. Isaac, do you remember? She disappeared. Sorry?
Amy Earhart
had to land at one... She had the best equipment around, and there was one island in the Pacific she had to land for refueling. And they missed it. Amelia Earhart. And they missed it and disappeared. And I mean, it's so hard, even with the best, and they had the Navy there sending beams, and they had, radio communications to try and help find the island, maps and so on. And these birds find these islands every year, flying from Alaska down to Australia, New Zealand, and back again. How do they do it? These birds have such brilliant eyesight, such brilliant ability of navigation. So you've got evolution versus creation, intelligent design. The pagan view of the state is based upon evolution. The state is divine, state authority is unlimited, lead state worship results in tyranny because you came from nothing, you're going nowhere, life is meaningless, we make our own rules on it. But if you take a biblical view of creation, it leads to a divinely ordained state where the state authority is limited, which should lead to patriotism, love for your neighbor, and should result in a nation of laws. If you take Genesis away, you've taken away the rock-solid foundation of the Bible, and you lose the meaning of time. 6 days you will labor, and 7 days you shall rest. Well, maybe you should work for 6 billion years and rest on the 7th billion year. Things like that. How would that work?
Yeah.
The meaning of the Bible, the church, everything gets eroded if you take away an understanding of Genesis, young earth, six-day creation, and so on. So we are seeing a battle between creation and evolution. Creationism versus evolutionism. Answers in Genesis doing a wonderful work building the Ark Encounter in the Creation Museum. One of the big battles today is abortion. Every abortion stops a beating heart. abortion is the ultimate child abuse. But the scripture says we are to choose life so that we and our children may live. So there's a huge battle between abortion and pro-life. Life is precious. Abortion is murder. Then you get the worship of pleasure. Another word for this is hedonism. Hedonism, not hedonism, it's related, but hedonism is the worship of pleasure. Many people today have exchanged the pleasure of worship for the worship of pleasure. But we stand for the joy and the pleasure of worship. Hedonism, live for yourself, live for the moment, live for today. You know, basically, the look on their faces testifies against them. This, by the way, is meant to be a woman, believe it or not. That is not makeup, that is tattoos. Yep, watch more TV. Versus holiness. There's a battle between hedonism and holiness today. Propaganda is an ever-present reality in the world today, and it's been going for over a century. Propaganda, or prop agenda. The mass media specializes in disinformation, like the Bolshevik Broadcasting Corporation, or the Bias Broadcasting Corporation, or the Clinton News Network, Slime Magazine, Useless News and World Report, the Cape Crimes, and so on. Tell lie vision. The job of the television is to help destroy what's left of your imagination by feeding you endless dosage of sugar-coated, mindless garbage. That's putting it nicely. I mean, basically, you know what amusement means? Muse is to think. A is a negation, like an atheist doesn't believe in God. Amuse means don't think. Amusement is not thinking. That's what the word means. And so, yep, you can sort of, we need to think outside the box. And all too many people's brains are being bludgeoned into, and that's why you have trouble even communicating with logical thought and evidence with many people out there, because they've been so messed up by, well, music's the wrong word, noise, and what the world calls music, and it's noise masquerading as music, and a whole lot of what they call entertainment. The Gogglebox has really destroyed most people's ways of thinking. Just think how much of what people do. They buy things they don't need. They do things that don't make sense. They hobble around on shoes that aren't comfortable. They wear clothes that don't fit, that fall off them. All sorts of things. They pay more for it. You know, it's just, you know, to pay more for clothes that don't fit you.
Or they have rips in
them. Yes, you buy clothes that already have rips and tears in them. Yes, like what? Why? And it's called programming for a reason. You get programmed. Versus the truth of God's word. The word of God is truth that sets us free. And that's why if you've read libraries of books and you argue with some people who can only think in slogans and cliches and stock phrases, it's pretty hard. But you have to find a way to get through to those people, maybe by finding better sound bites than they've known already. The world is a world of deception. Pravda means truth. And as they said in Russia, there's no truth in Pravda. And there's no news in Izvestia. And Izvestia means news. We need discernment. Hollywood is out there throwing you dead with who knows how much garbage versus history. Do you want to know the real story? I mean, I can take almost any film out there that is meant to be history and tell you that based on a true story, you know, when they say inspired by real events, based on a true story, what they mean is some of this might have happened. Most of it's lies, deception. Names and the places are true. But the facts have been changed to protect the guilty and demonize the innocent. I mean, that's basically the way it goes. It's just, you know, right now they've got a new film out called The Greatest Showman, okay? And that's on P.T. Barnum, the man who basically invented the circus. And they have a lot of it in the film where he's in a bar, every time something goes wrong he's in a bar, and he's sliding the whiskey backwards and forwards and they're downing the whiskey on him. He was a temperance man. He abstained from alcohol for life. He did most of his circus travels and so on, speaking against the evils of alcohol and promoting abstinence. And here in the film they have him as a whiskey-swilling drunkard. He's somebody who went to church and spoke about the blood of Christ. in this form, there is no church. It's totally godless, secular, family and so on. And you could just go through every single thing in the form. Every major point in it is fiction. It didn't happen. And yet, this is what they do. Most people say, now I know the history of Dunkirk or whatever. And it's not. It's every single film that's meant to be historical. Well, there was a time like 40 years ago, I remember the film Cromwell. That was pretty true to history. But most of the films you get today that are meant to be based on a historical event, it's anything but. It's more disinformation than anything else. The problem isn't with our country having books banned, but with people no longer reading. You don't have to burn books to destroy culture, you just have to get people to stop reading them by distracting them and getting them into so many other things. Which I think is one reason why the school system keeps the kids so busy with mindless garbage, to keep them from reading and learning and doing something constructive. I don't believe our schools, I'm talking about the government schools, intention is to educate kids. I think it's to indoctrinate, brainwash, distract, make them hate books, make them hate learning, and make sure that they're going to be mindless drones who will vote for the government. I do not believe they want to educate people, because they're going about exactly the opposite way if you really want to educate people. How do you control a nation? You distract them. You deceive them. You divide them. Distract, deceive, divide. If you haven't seen the film Agenda 2, you must. We'll make them available for you when you leave tomorrow, anyone who wants. This is the best two-hour explanation of what's going on in the world of deception. Pornography is like the, how do you call it? It is the Eucharist of the pagan world. What the Lord's Supper is to the church, pornography is to the secular humanists. What baptism is to the church, that's what abortion is to the world. It's like they've got their new sacraments, and this is one of the sacraments of the secular humanist pagans. Taryn wrote Pandemic, How the Pornography Plague Affects You and What You Can Do About It. It's super important, because this is one of the realities of age. Why do we have so many men wrecked? This is war against males, it's a war against family, it's a war against marriage. This just breaks down and undermines the most basic ties of life. Versus purity, we call it purity. I mean, what's better? To love a real person, to be loved by a real person, or to have some kind of digital relationship with some make-believe Photoshop garbage? I mean, really and truly, are they out of their minds? Yes, they are. Modesty is not about hiding your body, it's about revealing your dignity. Huh. Blasphemy is the way in the world. I mean, just look at Newspeak here. The Second Coming, when old Abomination was elected for second term. The Second Coming. I mean, really and truly? The blasphemy of the media. There's so many things. I mean, I've seen pictures of Mandela sitting like at the Lord's table with the 12 apostles, and there's Mandela in the middle, and Marilyn Monroe in the middle, and there's Obama in the middle. There's so many blasphemous artworks and things like that that come out, not to mention on the movies verbally. But we call to honor God. Peer pressure versus fearing God, not man. We either fear man or we fear God. But if we fear God, we're freed from the fear of man. He who kneels before God can stand before anyone. The world is pushing a perversion. And here's a very brave soul. Homosexuality is a grievous sin, abomination, filthy, unlawful, vile, and natural. Christ can set you free. I mean, what a brave soul. This would be considered hate speech in many places, but you know what really is a hate crime? A hate crime is not warning people of the dangers of eternal hell. A hate crime is apathy. A hate crime is to fail to evangelize the world and to tell them the truth. They are promoting perversion. We stand for families. I mean, one man, one woman, for life. They actually love one another and love their children. How about that for a radical concept? This is God's cure or protection against sexually transmitted diseases. If you haven't seen the film In Your Face, they give about the horrible effects of about 65 sexually transmitted diseases. It's not just AIDS and herpes and gonorrhea and a whole bunch of other things. And the results are so vile, it make you sick to your stomach.
What's the name of the movie?
In Your Face. It's produced by Doctors for Life. Very, very good film. We've got it here too. We'll make it available for those who want. Here's Paris, France, which I would have thought is gone. But these people are protesting against homosexual marriage, so-called, and they're standing for the family. 1 million Parisians marched in France to protest against homosexual marriage.
Wow.
I didn't know there were so many people who still believed in marriage in France. So the world isn't quite as gone as some people would want to suggest. I mean, this is Paris. This is in front of the Louvre. I mean, wow. Outstanding. The world promotes ignorance and cynicism. But we must stand for knowledge and faith. Cynicism is like, really, believe this? They're cynical in the sense that they will always undermine what you've said with cynical, slurring comments. Anyone got a better definition?
Sarcastic, bitter.
Sarcasm would be part of cynicism. It's one way of expressing cynicism. Sorry?
Richard Dawkins.
Yes, well, cynicism is skepticism in a mocking, undermining way.
That's a good way.
Okay, but we stand for knowledge and faith. Indoctrination. I mean, notice here, if you can ignore these British schoolgirls in the foreground, what on earth does Martin Luther King Jr., Che Guevara, and Mandela have to do with education? Nothing. It's got everything to do with indoctrination. This is a British school. I mean, where's Queen Elizabeth I? Where's Oliver Cromwell? Where's the great heroes of British history, William Tyndale, who died for translating the Bible into English. But no, this is what they put in their school classrooms. A pagan, pervert, sexual deviant, serial adulterer used church funds to pay for his orgies. Who's a foul-mouthed pagan. I mean, they've sealed the FBI tapes of Martin Luther King Jr.'s hotel rooms because he had so many communist friends, they had to follow him and they bugged to it. And they've had to seal him for 60 years, only meant to be released in 2026, I think, because he was just blaspheming and cursing all the time in his hotel room. I mean, he'd act like a Christian in the churches, but and whoremongering and sexual deviancy, you don't even want to discuss. Even the last night when he died, when he was murdered. As for this mass murdering thug, this Che Guevara, murdered thousands of people, including women and children. And there's Christians wearing his face on their t-shirts.
Why is he so, how did he get so popular? What's
propaganda, indoctrination, mass media, marketing, PR. Now, how do you like this one? UNICEF, yeah, well, indeed. UNICEF. This is meant to be promoting libraries. Except, where's the library? This isn't even a library book. This is a textbook. So, this is to promote libraries. Literally, it's a UNICEF poster for that. Versus education, which begins with the Bible. Indoctrination is teaching you what to think. Repeat after me. No. That's indoctrination. Education is teaching people how to think critically. Why? Where, when, who, how, and how do I know it's true? What if you're wrong? And you die. And we're meant to think critically. We should be teaching children how to think, not what to think. This is the problem with our schools today. It's all about what to think, not how to think. Truth is truth even if no one believes it. A lie is a lie even if everyone believes it. So today we've got political correctness, you know, in 1984, so the thought police looks like you've had a little bit too much to think. Don't speak out or question. Closed mind, stop thought crimes. And we meant to have freedom of thought. You recognize this university campus here? Whoops. Stellenbosch, yeah. This used to be a place of revival. It was established by Reverend John Murray, Andrew Murray's elder brother. It was founded first and foremost to advance theology and to prevent us having to send our kids off to Holland to be brainwashed by the liberals in the 1850s in Holland. Imagine how bad it was there at that time compared to now. And today Stellenbosch is a place of political correct indoctrination and bullying of Christians. A friend of mine went there to study biology to be a veterinary surgeon, and the first day in biology, The teacher says, leave your Christianity outside. You can either be a scientist or Christian. You can't be both. In my class, we leave your religion outside. In here, you've got to be without any religion. What's this got to do with education? Yeah. Who do they think founded the university? Who do they think founded universities? What do they think the word university means? Uni Veritas. One truth. Do any concept who actually founded veterinary science and everything else? Every branch of science be founded by evangelical Bible-believing Christians. What on earth is the case that you've got such hostility for the greatest book ever written and the greatest teacher the world has ever known? Unbelievable. And this is going on in many of our universities. Although Madeleine said that in her university, she had a lecturer, what the subject was, where he would open in Bible reading and prayer? Physics. Well, there we go. So it's not all bad. There are some brave people making a stand in university, but boy, they're the exception. I love Dr. James Kennedy's books. He's written some of the finest books to counter the spirit of age, such as What If Jesus Never Been Born? What If the Bible Had Never Been Written? The Gates of Hell Should Not Prevail. Skeptics Answered and Why I Believe the Bible. Super important books. My contribution to this is answering skeptics in both audio and video. We must strive to be biblically accurate rather than politically correct. Who cares about politically correct? Who decides what's politically correct? I'm not interested in being politically correct. I don't need to worry. I don't think we're in any danger of that. But we've got to be biblically accurate. I'd rather be hated for speaking God's truth than hailed for trying to redefine the truth.
Yes.
So, the world wants you to repeat their mantras. Say after me, Islam is a peaceful and tolerant religion. Mm-hmm. And if you say it often enough, it'll become true, right? Follow your heart. Wish upon a star. The people will believe what the media tells them they believe. I mean, for example, I remember when the average South African, I mean, across the board, you can't negotiate with the ANC unless they renounce violence and terrorism. The same sort of people who today are voting ANC were the ones saying you couldn't support them until they renounce violence and terrorism, which they never did. And you get these people who... You could just see from one thing to another, whatever SATV tells them, okay, now I know what I believe. Versus freedom of speech. Truth is new hate speech. During times of universal deceit, telling the truth becomes a revolutionary act. They may call us reactionaries, but actually we're revolutionaries. Because we are standing for the real revolution, the spiritual revolution, which is changing hearts, lives, minds. I mean, regeneration and reformation, revival, that's the real revolution. These so-called revolutionaries, they're actually reactionary. All they're doing is bringing people more and more under the control of the banksters and the New World Order. They think they are fighting against the system. They're with the system. They're slaves of the system. The further a society drifts from the truth, the more they will hate those who speak the truth. You can toe the party line, or you can have freedom of the press. Most of our press prefer to toe the party line. I'd rather offend somebody into heaven than flatter someone into hell. Better to be slapped with the truth than kissed with a lie. Great Russian proverb. You can follow the herd. Or you can have freedom of association. I mean, here's a man who's standing against the tide, like the steel-headed trout floating... swimming upstream, standing against the tanks. I mean, that's courage. That's, in fact, I think in 1989, one of the few good choices of Time magazine, they voted this man of the year. And I agree. A student who can stand with his books in front of the tanks of communism and show this resistance, I mean, that is courage. The people who pulled down the statue of Vladimir Lenin outside Addis Ababa, they used to say the only good thing about Lenin's statue in Addis Ababa was it looked like he was walking towards the airport. Although it's like he's on his way out. New Age interfaith is super popular. I mean, our Helen Ziller, Cruella de Vil, all those characters in DA, they love the interfaith, New Age, things like this. Do you know that you wonder why we've got drought problems in Cape Town? Well, the mayor of Cape Town called an interfaith prayer meeting. Witch doctors, Buddhists, Hindus, Jews, rabbi, imam, that all sort of thing. And yeah, well, I mean, that really helps. You know, aggravate the God who sends the rain. Really stupid. versus freedom of religion. Conformity is the way of the world. They want you all conforming under international communism, basically. But we want transformation, but back to the Bible. Wrong is wrong, even if everyone's doing it. Right is right, even if no one's doing it. The world offers you degeneration. We stand for regeneration. Guilt manipulation is the way of the world. They want you to feel psychological guilt, false guilt, so that they can paralyze and neutralize you and distract you. But we stand for real repentance for specific violations of God's law. But on the other side of our repentance is freedom, forgiveness, freedom. There's the politics of guilt and pity. But then there's Christian missions and charity. I mean, this is better. Centralization is the world's way. Like the Tower of Babel. Look at this example. Here's the EU Parliament, which I visited in Strasbourg. It's built in a very strange way, an incomplete way, with looking like scaffolding on the outside. It's based on the Tower of Babel by Bruegel, a Brussels artist during the Reformation. Right down to the incomplete building, and I mean, wow. How clear is that? That they are, in every age, God confounds the Towers of Babel, like he did with Brexit, the Trump Revolution, and those things.
Sure.
We stand for decentralization. God wants us to disperse, decentralize, fill the earth. The world will always promote revolution. Yeah, like the French Revolution or Revulsion. You need to read A Tale of Two Cities or watch the film. Versus reformation. We oppose revolution, we stand for reformation. Bring people back to the Bible. The world's going for regression. Yeah, technology does not necessarily civilize and advance you. Revival is better than regression. The world wants you to tattoo your body. But God wants us to respect our body as a temple of the Holy Spirit. Communism stands for compulsory confiscation. Lack of farms in Rhodesia from productive farmers. Statism's ideas are so good, they just have to be mandatory. There ought to be a law. Yeah. So good that half the population of Zimbabwe have fled, voted with their feet. Versus voluntary generosity. There's a world of difference between communist confiscation and voluntary generosity. There's a big difference between me saying what's mine is yours and sharing, and saying what's yours is mine and taking. Big difference. Yet some people can't tell the difference. Socialism is the way of the world. Next time you hear something as government funded, remember the government is 100% taxpayer funded. This government funded is a lie. Government doesn't fund anything. No government official takes money out of their own pockets. They first steal it from other people, redistribute it, you know. They think they like a red Robin Hood. Free this, that, and the other. There is no free anything. Somebody's paying for it. You take from the productive and you give to the unproductive. People fish out the sea. The government fishes out of your bucket of what you've already caught in the sea.
Sure.
Governments create wealth the same way ticks create blood. Poly-ticks. Poly-many-ticks, blood-sucking parasites. Poly-ticks, many blood-sucking parasites.
Many bats, lots of bats.
Well, I went to the shooting range with my son Calvin a while ago, years ago, and when we got back, my wife was on the phone, and I had to hold the phone away from me because she was screaming at the other end. Yes, he'd come back with a tick on his back, so I had to rush home, and the girls were standing around there. And so I said, it's quite simple, you apply Vaseline, some petroleum jelly, over it, because if you try to dig him out or pull him out, he's just going to dig deeper.
Yeah.
And so he can't breathe through the petroleum jelly, and the next thing you could see this tick climbing out from the back of Calvin. And I pulled him off, put him on the counts in the bathroom and he started to run, and my girl screamed, I smacked the tick, blood spread everywhere, more screams. You only get a teaching moment like this once in a while. And so I said, this tick is like the ANC. It produces absolutely no, it produces nothing except living off the blood of others. It only contributes disease and infection. It's, and you know, when they asked, whose blood is it? You know, it's Calvin's blood. No, more screams from Daniela. So, the middle letters of cancer is ANC. But when you think of ticks, think polyticks. Many blood-sucking parasites.
Cancer.
Speaking of blood-sucking parasites, this character managed to turn this into nothing. This much money couldn't buy a half a loaf of bread. Capitalism is the unequal sharing of blessing. Socialism is the equal sharing of misery.
Oh.
Socialism, you wait on the breadlines. Capitalism, the breadlines wait on you. Made in China, made in Germany. I mean, that's the fact. I mean, a bicycle made in Germany is tougher than a car made in China. Simple. You know, do we need to say anything more? Versus free enterprise. A fine is a tax for doing wrong, and a tax is a fine for doing well.
Sure.
Capitalism creates both jobs and wealth. Now, I don't actually like that in capitalism. I prefer free enterprise.
Yeah, we
stand for free market. Capitalism, to be honest, monopoly capitalism and communism are buddies. They're in bed together. So the people misunderstand the capitalism thing, because capitalism, as in Harry Oppenheimer, Rothschilds, Rockefellers, I mean, those guys, they fund the communists. George Soros, one of the biggest, he's funding everything out there, from rent-a-crowds, rent-a-mob, rent-a-riot, whatever. I mean, they love it. Exactly, an anti-fascist, as they call it, Antifa. So, basically, the capitalists versus the communists is an illusion. They're actually working together. Racial quotas, like from Juju, versus freedom of opportunity for all. Licensing. When the government takes away your right to do something and then sells it back to you. Since when do we need a marriage license from the state? Did Abraham or Jacob or Isaac, did they get marriage licenses? I mean, what does it have to do to a government, with a government, to give marriage licenses? And the trouble is, when a minister stands in line to get a license to marry people from the state now thinks, I can tell you what marriage is. And you must marry homosexual perverts, and allow them to be ministers of your church too, by the way. And we've opened ourselves up for it. Because if you go to the government for a license to do marriages, then they can tell you what a marriage is now. It's foolish. It's never been a biblical role of government to run hospitals, schools, marriages, or anything else. In fact, all the government's meant to do is execute murderers, make thieves do restitution, and protect you from invaders of the country. I mean, that's it. Law and order, defense, justice. That's it. I mean, that's all the government's meant to do. If they would leave the rest of us alone, we could do everything better. The government takes 8 to 12 times more money per student to educate kids with free education than we could do it ourselves. Yes. Well, they can get it several ways. One way, a very, very good way, is by charging import tax on outside goods. So, for example, why are so many of our people out of work in South Africa? Because China is swamping our country with cheap junk that's made by slaves in China, and who can beat the price of slave labor? China's got these massive concentration camps with millions of Christians in them, churning out every piece of junk and rubbish that inhabits Disney World and the toys of McDonald's and all of this, and even American flags are made in China. It's just pathetic. So China is swamping and destroying free enterprise everywhere. If you just charge import duties on foreign imports, manufactured goods and so on, you would provide a protection for your own people, and that would enable our own people to be able to make shoes and clothes and backpacks and everything else and toys, and sell them for a better price than what the Chinese, who are undercutting everyone's jobs. Yes?
So should the government not also protect?
I do believe they should, but the best way of doing this is to encourage it to be done by private enterprises, because the private game reserves and the private initiatives do a better job. Like SANCOB saved the seabirds, the coastal birds like the penguins in the year 2000, with the Chinese oil tanker. The state did nothing. They caused the problem. The free enterprise voluntary associations solved the problem. And so if they would just stop taxing us so much, we could have better schools, better run, better content, we could have better game reserves, we could have better everything. Right now, the government game rangers are doing most of the poaching. Yes. Roads. Yes, now the roads and so on, we believe that these would best be handled by the municipal and provincial authorities. National should do very, very little. The national government should be dealing with things like defence, foreign affairs, law and order. I mean, that's it. But even law and order, we should bring down to the local level as much as possible. The police forces should be run by the local municipalities and so on. You really need to, the more you decentralise, which is the way America's still got some of it, where they actually elect their local sheriff and their local prosecutor. I mean, how good is that? Do you have that right in Canada? Oh, sad. You know, it started in England. Electing your local sheriff was an English tradition, which America adopted and England later phased out. But it's a good principle. Anyway, licensing. The government has no right to license you for almost anything. So, for example, Bill Bathman, my father-in-law, in the Second World War, he was, at age 13 and 14, driving trucks for delivering things. He said, how do you get a license at age 14? He says, there was no such thing as licenses. You got into trouble if you drove dangerously. You didn't need prior permission to drive, you just had to drive carefully, and if you drove carefully, they wouldn't bother you. And, you know, this business of age restrictions for this and licensing for that, like South Africa right now, you can go to the army at 17, but you can only have a license for a firearm at age 21. Yeah. The world promotes affirmative action, which doesn't help the poor guy. The poor guy now starves to death, and other guys get fat. This is what you call BEE belly. Yeah. Yes, and this is what happens in the hospitals. Poor people are on the floor because the beds have been stolen by the hospital staff. But don't worry, the police will protect you. And as Nelson Mandela said, he's going to stop the gravy train. He stopped the gravy train just in time to hook up his own people's things. You've heard of the beer belly. Well, this is a BEE belly. Yep. Too much Kentucky Fried. As George Orwell wrote, all animals are equal, but some animals are more equal than others. Versus a Christian work ethic. Fairness is not giving my money to lazy people. Don't spread our wealth, spread the Protestant work ethic. Human rights. I demand my rights. Versus personal responsibilities. Have you noticed that the Ten Commandments is all about my responsibilities? But if I am busy with my responsibility to love my neighbour as myself, to do to others as I want to, then I won't infringe on their rights. But if I'm demanding my rights, I'm going to infringe on other people's rights. It's a big difference. Demanding your rights or being diligent in fulfilling your responsibilities. Christianity emphasizes our responsibilities. The world believes, especially the Americans, sorry Isaac, but you know, the Americans have this attitude of the solution to every problem is to bomb other countries. If you don't come to democracy, democracy will come to you. Vote Democrat for kinder, gentler imperialism. I don't know if you've noticed, but every war America's got involved in, the Democrats started. First World War, Second World War, Korean War, Vietnam War. Oh, I mean, they start wars all over the place. They love wars. And of course, what Obama did to the Middle East with his promoting of this Arab Spring, democracy coming soon to a neighborhood near you. Yay! I say rather send them Bibles. Rather than bombing other countries, let's sow Bibles in them. Send in the Marines is a regular attitude of a lot of folks in America, but I'd say send missionaries. They can do a hang of a lot more good and not aggravate the people so much. The reason why there's so much hatred for Christians in the Middle East is because of Western interference in the Middle East, bombing, 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 more bombing, and sending weapons to Israel and complaining about gas in Syria while they give phosphorus bombs to Israel. And Israel can bomb the Gaza Strip with phosphorus bombs, which is illegal by the Geneva Convention. But that's not a problem because they come from America. So chemical weapons that are banned by the Geneva Convention made in America is fine. But, the way it just works is pathetic. So forget the sending in the Marines, send in the missionaries. The world is continually telling you about salvation through politics. Vote for this person, you're going to save your country. But Ben Carson says, we've been conditioned to think that only politicians can solve our problems. But at some point, maybe we will wake up and recognize it was the politicians who created the problems in the first place. You know, they continually just take Cruella de Vil, Mayor of Cape Town, you know, telling us what we've got to do to save water. While they have mismanaged the water, it's been proven we don't have less rain than in the last century, as they're telling us. We've had less rain in the last 10 years, in a given year. And we've had less rain, in the last 20 years and 30 years and so on. But they have mismanaged the water, and they have distributed badly. And, of course, there's huge areas that don't care about saving water because they get the water free, which is a guaranteed way of having things wasted. The politicians cause the problems, and next thing, they want you to vote for them to solve the problems that they caused. Salvation in and through our Lord Jesus Christ alone is what we believe in, not salvation through politics. The socialists and the humanists want you to change the laws to change the people. But we believe in changing people's hearts in order to transform society. Love your neighbours as yourself, do to others as you'd want them to do unto you. In the time of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed, nor will it be left to another people. It will crush those kingdoms, it'll bring them to an end, but it itself will endure forever. All the ends of the earth will remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations will bow down before him, for dominion belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. So, any questions or comments? You can change the world. Got to see this clash of civilizations, world war of worldviews, battle for the mind, battle for the heart, battle for the family. Questions? I do not believe it's at all relevant for the state, you know, excuse my terminology, but who the hell is the state to tell us what marriage is? And why would the church need permission to? For all of history, marriage was an arrangement between two families and a church community, maybe two churches in some cases, but it involved the families and churches. So the marriage record for most people was the marriage book at the church, or the four fronts of their Bibles where witnesses signed, and maybe the parents signed, the pastor signed, and dates put there. Yeah. I mean, this was marriage. You can imagine Isaac and Rebecca, they were not getting any kind of a license from any authorities. It never had anything to do with the state. It was a social thing, and therefore the community, normally expressed through the church, but certainly through the families, determined marriage, and you could have different rites of marriage as well. Yes, in the front of your Bible, you often have got a certificate for matrimony. That is biblical. And that's the way, with my daughter's wedding, we signed a Bible, which to us is the right, I mean, that's where you record your covenant in front of witnesses. I mean, it's done in a God-honoring biblical way. Yeah, well, you know what they want to do? They want us to register our churches and religious practitioners. This is where it goes. Like in the Soviet Union, they had a Department of Religious Affairs. Why do you need that? Well, they end up destroying every church and killing just about every minister in all of the Soviet Union. Not a good example. That's the first licensing of churches.
The second question was about human rights. You said that human rights is personal responsibility. But you also said that it's the child's right to
say a life. Yes, we do use it in our terminology. What we've done in many ways is we've adopted the terminology of our opponents. They talk about human rights, and you say, well, what about the right to life of the unborn baby? Pro-choice, that's a lie. Babies don't choose to die. I mean, this is counter-propaganda. But yes, the right to life is, we've borrowed the terminology from the other side. But what we're doing is we're taking their arguments and throwing it back in their face, like equal rights for unborn women, you know? It's that idea. That's correct. It's not a primary focus, but they are there. So that, for example, you could arrest a person for he committed murder, or he violated the right to life of this victim. You're saying the same thing, coming from two different directions.
I was thinking the other day, I can't remember who I was trying to, and I was saying like how people always say like the Ten Commandments are there to like ruin your fun, and you shouldn't like why do we have all these laws that we have to live by? But I was thinking the other day, if you look at it in like the opposite way, like love each other, like and you don't look at it as like as a don't, but rather as a what you should do, then they'd be like, oh, those are amazing like things to live by, like that's good. And as you say, it's because they want rights rather than responsibilities.
It's very selfish. So yes, so if you get the book One Thing You Can't Do in Heaven, he said you've got to change your emphasis. It's not I've got to witness, but I get to witness. Well, I've got to worship, but I get to worship. You know,
exactly.
When you see it as a privilege, it's a whole different attitude.
Yeah.
Just a change of the verb. Okay, where do I get my information source from? Not from CNN, BBC, SATV, Slime Magazine, so on, obviously. So, what's the alternative? Well, of course, I travel a lot. I meet a whole lot of people. I know a bunch of folks where, when you've heard from people who were there on the ground, you've been to places, this is what started me off being so super skeptical about what's in the media, because I knew it wasn't like that in Rhodesia or Southwest Africa or Angola or Mozambique or Rwanda and so on and so forth. And my dad, who fought through the Second World War 6 years, said it wasn't like that when he'd seen movies and people I've spoken to. So that helps, but good source of information. You'll see, we're going to see you all get a Security Survival book. I recommend under the Be Informed, World Net Daily, Assist News, A Voice of the Martyrs. There's a whole range of sources of information that I get. Open Doors has got the Open Doors Persecution Watch, and they list the different nations. And Operation World is a major source of mine because, I mean, they're phenomenal. What they put into those books, but they've got a database and a website far bigger. It's a whole lot of missions researchers from around the world who contribute. In fact, I'm one of their contributors now for Operation World, and help them write the chapters on certain countries that I was involved in, like Sudan, Mozambique. So you need to find a reliable source. So when you know a missionary there or somebody you can trust, you're going to trust what he says more than what some newspaper says.
I just want to know, practically, with all these things happening in society, all of society is corrupt.
Yes.
And there were, like, for example, with the Reformation in the 1500s, how do we practically go about, like,
ooh, what a
changing
lovely question.
An entire nation? Like, apart from, okay, it starts in prayer.
That's exactly what we exist for. I mean, the book, The Greatest Century Reformation, we've got in there, you know, steps to reformation, practical reformation, personal reformation. That's why we produced books like Biblical Principles for Africa, Reforming Our Families, Prayer, Power Prayer Handbook, you know, how to revive, restore our devotional life, our families. Well, of course, those are the two first steps. Going on to the congregation, the community, the countries, all the way through. And amongst the different ways, you know that some of the best ways of learning is by example, which is why I've been working like the Grace Center Missions, Grace Center Reformation, putting in a whole lot of biographies of examples of excellence of those who did it before and learning from them. So, yes, this is the thing. Our whole emphasis is action, I mean, Africa Christian action. The boots, the putting feet to your faith is the emphasis of the Great Commission course. So there's a lot of things you can practically do. And one thing we're going to be doing at the end of this month is march at the Parliament and the prayer vigil there, protesting against the legalization of abortion. I think the single most strategic thing you can do is start a Bible study and prayer fellowship in your home, church, school, workplace, something like that. Our mission grew out of a Bible study and prayer fellowship in the army.
Dr. Hammond, like all these things that you taught right now, I know in our community where I come from, we are a Reformed church,
yes.
And I have like a Reformed school with us and everything, and Bible study and all those things. But when I talk to people about these kind of things, they almost get mad at me, because they are like, you have to obey the government, you have to do this,
yeah.
And this, and like,
we've heard that before,
they don't,
yeah,
want to hear the these things. How do you get Christian Reformed people to understand that this is actually?
I know it's a battle we fight all the time, and I know it's a wonderful challenge though, because our whole Reformed tradition is changing, challenging. What do you think the name Protestant means? Where did that come from? We're meant to protest. We're meant to make a stand. We're meant to reform. We're meant to change it.
Yeah.
We're not meant to accept things the way they are. And the whole emphasis is we must not just love God in words and tongue, but in true love that shows itself in action. To know the good you ought to do and not to do is sin. Who will rise up for me against the wicked? Who will make a stand for me against the workers of iniquity? So the emphasis continually is action. making a difference. Mm-hmm. Turn the world upside down. This is the, if our people could just understand, what does it mean, Jesus Christ is Lord? He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. How can the government's authority, do you think God gave the government a blank check? So, must you obey your parents? Yes. Must you respect your parents? Yes. But what if they're abusive parents? Well, if your parents are human traffickers and they want you to assist in the human trafficking, want to traffic, as some parents do, into prostitution, their own children, should they resist? Your parents say you're not allowed to get baptized, which happens in every Muslim family. What should they do? We must obey God rather than men. So family government is limited. It's got to be under the Lord. What about church government? Of course you must respect your church leaders. But what was the Reformation about? It was because the church government was not in submission to God. If the government, either of your church or your family or the state, is not in submission to Almighty God, don't join them in their rebellion. That's why England had a civil war. Oliver Cromwell, the Puritans, Puritan Parliament, because the king was in treason to God. He would violate his coronation if he has not been true to Magna Carta, the Great Charter. And therefore, they said, the king is a power to be resisted. He is not an authority to be submitted to. God has instituted all the authorities. What authorities? Self-government, church government, family government, civil government. But all of them are delegated, limited authority, answerable to God. If any of those authorities violate God's law and command something God does not command, for example, a government that says, you're not allowed to preach gospel, you're not allowed to evangelize, you're not allowed to bring Bibles and so on and so forth. Well, I beg God rather than that, which is why we've ended up in prison sometimes. But we've got to make a stand, we've got to choose. And for people to think, well, of course, a false minister in the church must be deposed. Of course, an abusive parent must be brought to court. But there can't be false ministers in the state because everyone in the state is perfect and they'd never do anything wrong, right? Wrong. Read Revelation 13. People quote you Romans 13 and say, well, how about reading Revelation 13? Because the state that is an authority under God in Romans 13 is not a terror to those who do good, but a terror to those who do evil. They are God's servant. They are God's deacon, God's minister. But now in Revelation 13, you have a state that is antichrist, that is a beast, that is persecuting God's people, that's murdering God's people. You can't say the beast is operating with the authority of God.
Yeah.
So for somebody to say to me, well, God puts Kim Il-sung in as head of North Korea, and he says there can't be Bibles in, and you're not allowed to send Bibles to North Korea. I know a young girl who was converted to Christ in North Korea, escaped through China, and she's trained to be a missionary to go back to her own people. Now, is she in violation of the law of God because she wants to break the law of Kim Il-sung in North Korea? You know, it's just ridiculous that you've got people who have deified the state. What you've got is idolatry. When people put the state above God and His Word, like, no. The old South African constitution began in humble submission to Almighty God. That is the right attitude of a state.
Yeah.
You can't say, we the people. Sorry, Isaac. I think that it's a deist mentality where the American founding fathers put we the people up front. I think in humble submission to Almighty God is 1,000% better. So, you know, if people look, America's a good example of a lot of things, but I'd say Switzerland's a better example. Yeah. Okay, any other comments, questions, complaints? I've got a whole chapter on Switzerland's strategy for survival in our Security and Survival Handbook, which we're going to be giving to all participants tomorrow. And they were involved, but not as a belligerent. They were involved in a vigorous armed neutrality and they mobilized. So in the Second World War, it may surprise you to know that the British, the French, the Germans, the Italians, the Americans all planned to invade Switzerland at different times. And Switzerland shot down British, German, French, and American planes that violated the airspace. Switzerland was heavily involved in defending their neutrality, aggressively defending their neutrality, and had the highest mobilization of manpower of any country in Europe in the Second World War. So Switzerland was involved in the Second World War, but not as an aggressor, simply keeping themselves out of it, and they were able to, the only country in Central Europe that stayed out of the war. But it's not that they weren't fighting. Every time, and the British bombed Switzerland, they mistook a Swiss town for Germany on a couple of occasions, and came in and bombed. And so Switzerland was even bombed, and they were fighting back, and they were shooting down bombers and aircraft to violate the space. Now, most people don't know it, but we've got the book on the shelf up here, Target Switzerland. Here we go. Target Switzerland. I summarized this and a whole lot more in our security survival. Swiss Army trials in the Second World War. It's an untold story because people don't like it. It's very embarrassing that everybody, all the belligerents on both sides of the Second World War, planned to invade Switzerland and tried to mess with him, and they just didn't put up with it. So, yeah, super good. That is propaganda against Switzerland, told by the sleaze buckets who wanted to take away their freedom and independence. It's so unfair that Switzerland gets blamed. They provided refuge for people from all sides, people who fled from different sides, those who parachuted down or escaped there and they were interned during the war. And Switzerland treated all sides very fairly. But to accuse them of, basically it's guilt manipulation, trying lots of guilt and pity to get Switzerland to pay restitution to the low-life scum commie characters who start the wars anyway. And that's what they try and do all the time. This talk of restitution. You're trying to invent a crime, you have trial by media, forget the evidence to the contrary, and at the end of it, they're wanting Switzerland to hand over a whole of their resources. It's just to undermine Switzerland's integrity and neutrality. And Switzerland doesn't have disinformation and propaganda departments. They don't have anything like that. So you don't generally hear Switzerland's answer to these unfair and false charges. Yeah, there's a lot of very ugly films made by Hollywood to try and put Switzerland in a bad light. But it's really mean. I've looked into it and convinced it's spurious.